Be seated if you can, but once again, we are on an exciting topic, UFOs, aliens, and the coming mass abduction. Praise God, three people are excited about that, but that's right, I'm glad you're getting along. But again, what we're trying to do, believe it or not, it's a guy thing, I guess, we're trying to take the 14-hour documentary that we did on this topic, because it's very relevant to what's going on today, certainly, believe it or not, in the scripture, and we're trying to compress it into three studies. Okay, so again, if you want more, just as a segue, go to the teaching website, getalifemedia.com, and you can get the whole enchilada there as well. But we saw in our first study that these critters tell you who they're working for. It rhymes with Satan. You know why? Because it's Satan. Why? John chapter 8 says he's a liar and the father of all lies, and he's a murderer and he's been one from the beginning. That's from Jesus. And that's what these critters do. They lie all the time, which tells you they're working for Satan. This demons, right? They lie about their premise, their origin, their form, their breathing, their technology, their location, their appearance, their travel, their teachings, and their excuses. They're lying about when you see the disappearance of millions of people, it was them, not the rapture. You're liars. So that tells us it's a demonic deception in the last days. And that's all they did, is a little switcheroo. Because our world today does not want to believe in demons. You guys are wacko. Right? We're much more highly advanced than that. We're modernized now. And so all it's taken is the classic demon and just scrambled just a little bit. Alien. It's the same thing. And we saw the key is right in the middle. They lie like demons. So all it is a word scramble, but we're dealing with one and the same. Then last time we saw that they're also part of a demonic deception. They're not just liars. They're also deceivers, which is also what Jesus said would happen in the seven-year tribulation. That's what they do. They deceive people with their communication. They deceive people with their possessions. Do you want to possess me like a demon? Why? Because you're a demon. That's right, AJ, because you're a demon. Not you, the person saying that. The demon, right? Your wife was really looking at me there for a second. And their abductions. They're going to abduct me in the parking lot. Their abductions and their rebukes. What? You mean to tell me there's one surefire method to get rid of these critters if they show up on the scene, and it's when you rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ? Come on. As we saw, even the secular guys admit that strange trend. What's that? It's a demon. Demons must obey, cower, and flee at the name of Jesus Christ, and that's what these guys are doing. In fact, if you want even more proof that they're one and the same, folks, that all it is, and all they do is do a little word scramble, paint themselves in a little bit different picture, but it's demons through and through. Watch this little nugget of an interview I did exposing that angle. Watch this.
I don't know if your listeners are familiar with a gentleman. His name is Aleister Crowley, and secular researchers say that he was the most evilest man who ever lived. He was involved in serious black magic. He still to this day has had a huge influence on the music industry, Hollywood, etc. But he was contacted by several beings that gave him all this occult knowledge, okay? And one of them was called Lamb, L-A-M. And he actually drew a picture of it. And this is what the picture is of Lamb. What does that look like to you?
Not sure it looks like an alien.
Exactly. It's just one easy way to show. It's all the same thing. All they've done is repackage themselves. We live in a skeptical, anti-biblical society today. And of course, you start talking demons, people say, oh, you're a wacko, right? But then all you got to do is repackage them and say, oh, no, aliens from another dimensions, they're here to help us. It's the same thing.
Exactly. In fact, what we're also not being told is even the secular UFOologists who've been in this field for 40 plus years, you know what their final analysis is? These things are demons. No joke. It's on tape. Watch this.
In his book, Flying Saucer Pilgrimage, Bryant Reeves summarizes his findings in this statement. From our analysis, the teachings of the space beings appear to support many of the principles taught in Oriental philosophy by seers of the Far East. UFO researcher John Weldon then offers this question. How credible is it to think that literally thousands of genuine extraterrestrials would fly millions of light years simply to teach New Age philosophy, deny Christianity, and support the occult? And why would the entities actually possess and inhabit people just like demons do if they were really advanced extraterrestrials? Dr. Pierre Guérin, an eminent scientist associated with the French National Council for Scientific Research, concludes that UFO behavior is more akin to magic than to physics as we know it, and that modern UFO knots and the demons of past days are probably identical. John Keel is a world-renowned expert on UFOs and has written numerous books and articles on the subject. A self-described agnostic, he made this statement. Thousands of books have been written on the subject of demonology, which is the ancient and scholarly study of monsters and demons. The manifestations and occurrences described in this literature are identical to the UFO phenomenon. Victims of demonic possession suffer from the same medical and emotional symptoms as the UFO contactees.
In Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that first film that came out about UFOs, the house that the mother and little boy were living in, you know, the toys began running around, the screws unscrewed in the presence of UFOs. What the film was saying was the same people that run UFOs run haunted houses. And I would say that's absolutely true.
In 1969, the United States Printing Office issued a 400-page publication entitled UFOs and Related Subjects, an Annotated Bibliography. The author was the senior bibliographer for the Library of Congress, Ms. Lynn E. Cato. During her research, she read over 1,000 articles, books, and other literature. She summarizes her findings in the preface of the bibliography. A large part of the available UFO literature is closely linked with mysticism and the metaphysical. It deals with subjects like mental telepathy, automatic writing, and invisible entities, as well as phenomena like poltergeist manifestations and possession. Many of the UFO reports now being published in the popular press recount alleged incidents that are strikingly similar to demonic possession and psychic phenomena that have long been known to theologians and parapsychologists. Dr. Jacques Vallée has addressed the United Nations on UFOs and was the model for Lacombe in Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He is the author of 8 books on UFOs and has been widely recognized as the premier investigating scientist in the realm of UFO research. In his book, Messengers of Deception, Vallée says, an impressive parallel can be made between UFO occupants and the popular conception of demons. And in his book, Confrontations, he writes, the medical examinations to which abductees are said to be subjected, often accompanied by sadistic sexual manipulation, is reminiscent of the medieval tales of encounters with demons.
Jacques Vallée's, at least at that time when he wrote that book, was an agnostic. Interesting that he comes to basically the same conclusions I do as a Christian from my research. And he said about UFOs, they're real, but they're not physical. They're messengers of deception. And this was based on his research of about 20 years. They seem to be psychologically preparing, setting us up for some ultimate delusion that is too horrible even to imagine.
What was the word you used, sir? They're setting us up for a delusion. So they're not only liars, they're not only deceivers, they're part of a planetary-wide delusion that's a complete setup, as we've been seeing, to explain away the rapture and to get people who are left behind thinking that being left behind is a good thing and to go along with a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader that the Bible calls the Antichrist Kingdom. In fact, as we're going to see, the Vatican is promoting the exact same delusion with UFOs and aliens. But as always, let's hone in on that word there, delusion. Does the Bible say that there's going to become a big lie, a delusion on the planet, and those who don't want to hear the truth are going to fall for it? Yes, it's in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. Let's go ahead. That's our opening text, right? Another thing, these things are, but they're liars, they're deceivers, and they delude people, right? That's what they're here to do, and that is a sign that they're demonic. They work for Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12, there in chapter 2, as we stand and read God's holy word. If you find 1 Thessalonians, what do? Hang right. That's right. You guys are waking up. That's good, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, this is what it says. Now, it starts off with the rapture, and then it gets into the order that the appearance of the Antichrist after the rapture, the midway point, and then when we disappear, then he appears at the beginning, but then it tells us, what is he going to do? What is his rise going to be like? And it ain't based on truth. It's all about lies and deceit and false counterfeit satanic things. But here we are. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture, and are being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter supposed to have come from us saying that what? That the day of the Lord has already come. The day of the Lord is described as the day of wrath, and God's wrath is poured out on the planet at the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation. So Paul is basically saying, concerning the rapture, don't let anybody, I don't care if they said, I got a prophecy, or God told me to tell you, or did you read that book that guy said he's got some secret math that he's figured out, and the church is going to be in the seven-year tribulation. Does that sound familiar? Keep reading. What's Paul say when somebody comes up to you with that? And I quote, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. That's a lie that the church, the bride of Christ, is going to be in an outpouring of God's wrath, the seven-year tribulation. Jesus Christ does not beat his bride before he comes and marries her. That's blasphemy. And that's why he says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Okay, why? Because that day, not the rapture, the day of the Lord, the seven-year tribulation will not come until the rebellion occurs and the who? The man of lawlessness, that's the Antichrist, is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up into God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That's the midway point. The abomination of desolation, Daniel chapter 9, Matthew 24. So, and then Paul says this is 2 Thessalonians. So what does that imply? It came after 1 Thessalonians. And what do we have in 1 Thessalonians? Chapter 4 is the teaching on the rapture. So Paul already dealt with this. And what happened was he had to write 2 Thessalonians because some false teachers came in and was making a mess of things and lying to people and deceiving them, thinking they got left behind and they're in the seven-year tribulation, right? And that's why Paul says, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? Crown translation, hello, McFly, why are you listening to these guys? We already went over this. You're not going to be in the seventh. What are you doing? But then he goes on, and now you know what is holding him back. Who? The appearance of the Antichrist, the restraining influence, us, the church. We're the ones that's holding him back. Why? Well, he'll tell you in a second, right? And now you know what's holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness, it's already at work, but the one who now holds it back, listen, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And the Greek there, taken out of the way, literally means, no joke, to rise from the midst. So when we, the restraining influence, rise from the midst, then what happens? Then the lawless one will be revealed. Do you see the order there? Yeah. He can't appear until we disappear. That's pre-trib all day long. I'm just reading Bible. Right? Leave it alone. Let God speak for himself. Right? So, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now keep reading. When he appears, he's going to appear with a message of utopia. He's the man who just brought peace to the Middle East. And it's going to be a time of great plenty on earth. And just follow him and do what he says because he's so honest and truthful. And you could trust whatever this. No. Paul tells you what his kingdom's going to be built on. And it's called lies. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of who? Satan. Displayed in all kinds of what? Counterfeit. They're liars. They're deceivers. Miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Well, too bad they couldn't have got saved. No. Everybody needs to get saved right now.
Amen.
Because that's the only way to avoid what's coming.
That's right.
But if you don't get saved now and you find yourself left behind, you can still get saved. Revelation 7, the 144,000 male Jewish witnesses. Revelation 11, the two witnesses. And Revelation also talks about later after that, that there's going to be, God's going to send an angel to declare the eternal gospel to the whole world. So you can get saved. The problem is most people are going to be slaughtered like flies because of the Antichrist. So the common sense thing now is get saved now.
Right.
Don't say, well, if you guys disappear, I'll get saved then. No. Get saved now. This is not a joke.
That's right.
But you can get saved. Okay, but they say, well, that's not right that, you know, God would send this to... No. God tells you why that's happening. It's because they don't want to hear the truth. Watch this. They perish because what? They hadn't a chance, but then God made it to where they couldn't respond. They didn't say that. They perish. Why? Because they refused to love the truth, and so what? Be saved. They didn't want to be saved. They don't want to hear it. You ever run into people like that? You tell them about Jesus, I don't want to hear this. You tell them about the deception that's going on with Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. I don't hear it. What are you, a wacko? tell them about UFOs and aliens. Explain away the rapture. No, you're not one of those, are you? Are you serious? I don't want to hear this. Listen, I got football starts today. Are you kidding me? I don't want to hear this truth and so be saved. That world is here today, folks. We're just telling them the truth of what's going on. And because you chose not to receive the truth, you had a chance. You could have. Then what happens? Right? For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. There's that word again. So that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in what? Wickedness. You didn't want to hear it. You wanted to do your continued wicked thing instead of be saved from what is to come. You may be seated if you can. But judgment day is coming, and Paul says, for those left behind, even though you had an opportunity to escape it, you didn't because you didn't want to hear the truth. It's not like you didn't have an opportunity. You just chose wickedness. And so guess what? So here comes a big old lie, and that's part of the judgment of God. And this lie, believe it or not, you say, what is this lie? And Jesus talk we saw last time, Matthew 24, man, it's so powerful that even the elect could be deceived if that were possible. And it says, man, this is going to be some strong deceit, some strong lie, some huge delusion. What is this delusion that people are going to fall for? Well, the context here, as we saw in 2 Thessalonians 2, is the Antichrist kingdom that promotes a follow a one world ruler who has all the plans, who's going to build utopia on the planet through a one world government. A one world religion, right? And this is the same message that's being promoted by UFOs and aliens and the Vatican, okay? But people believe that this alien thing is going to be a part of that because what they're also doing, deluding people, is getting them to think that, hey, don't worry about getting saved now. No, just keep doing what you're doing. And if you find yourself left behind, this is awesome. You're a chosen one. It's going to be a great time. There's going to emerge a one world leader, and it's going to be the greatest. And man, isn't it awesome those Christians are finally gone? Oh, man, if I see another one of Pastor Billy's jackets, even though we saw they're going to be fighting over it, you know, if it gets left behind the rapture. But folks, that's a lie. That's a delusion. Why? Because Jesus said that's the worst time in the history of mankind. There's nothing good about being left behind. Matthew 24, 21 through 22, for then there will be great distress, Jesus said, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. And this is the delusion that's coming, folks, that is coming to the planet. The big lie, hey man, I've been telling you the truth, trying to tell the truth, but as soon as we're out of here, boom, here comes the delusion. You didn't want to hear it. And again, I'm going to reveal three entities currently that is promoting this delusion to go along with the Antichrist kingdom. And the first one, shocker, is UFOs and aliens. That's right. This is, millions and billions of years, they spent all this gas money coming here, and what are they telling us, as we saw before? Debunking only Christianity, saying there is no sin, saying Satan's a good guy, and what? Promoting the rise of the Antichrist kingdom, a one world leader. That's what we're going to do. Blah, blah, blah. Excuse me? Right? That's a delusion, okay? And they pitch it here that for those who are left behind, okay, even though the planet's going to be headed for some earth changes, the aliens are here. They're benevolent. And they're going to help us during that time. That's another delusion that they're spreading to people. Watch this.
I was abducted by aliens. These terrifying words have been spoken by people who claim to have had close encounters with little gray beings.
Some of these greys have a very dark agenda.
The greys are allegedly an alien species that have been reported countless times.
It's been going on for thousands of years.
There is multiple species, and we have been visited multiple occasions. We've had descriptions of greys for over 40 years. There was the Roswell incident, Outer Limits, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
We're going to meet with Miriam Delicato to hear about her encounters with greys.
It was October 1988. We were driving in northern British Columbia, and all of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, these lights appeared behind the car. It was almost as wide as two lanes. We actually thought that they were a big truck or something. The lights started popping on and off. the girl driving started to get really afraid. And then all of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, I said to her, pull over the car. It's not you they want, it's me.
What possessed you to say that?
I really didn't know at that point. We walked on board this craft, and they sat me down on this chair, and in front of me came a screen out of thin air, and then they started showing me all of these different images.
What kinds of images were these?
Images of catastrophes on the planet. Earthquakes, solar flares, war. And I was shown all of these different, what I believe is sort of like timelines and paths that humanity could take. And then I was explained how if we came together as a species, that we would be able to avoid any and all of these events.
So what is the purpose of all of this? What are they trying to do?
It was explained to me that they are the caretakers of this Earth, and that their purpose in being here is to help enlighten us, make us aware of who we are, and to make sure that we do not destroy ourselves or the planet.
Well, this is very interesting what Miriam is telling us about the Greys showing her pictures of wars and the way we're harming the planet. It sounds to me like they're bringing a benevolent message, that they're trying to help us. It doesn't sound to me like these are aliens that wish us harm.
Yeah, sure thing, Wally. Yeah. Benevolent saviors, we're here to save you. What's that? That's a false Christ.
That's right.
What we see last week was the first thing on Jesus' list. Watch out, many will come, claiming that I am the Christ. The aliens are here to save us. They're benevolent. And what's the message? Well, it's got to be true because they were telling us the future, that if we don't do what they say, then we're going to head for wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence. And it's got to be true because it's, hello, they can read Matthew 24.
That's right.
But what was the panacea? If you want to avoid that time frame, which the Bible calls the 7-year tribulation, what's the panacea? What's the solution? Don't turn to Jesus. Band together as humans. We've got to unite to each other and create a one world government. A leader who will appear on the scene will help us rise out of the ashes and rescue us from this time of calamity just in the nick of time. And we need to create a one world religion. What does that sound like? It's the delusion, folks. It's the Antichrist kingdom. And for those of you who don't want to hear the truth, including the truth about what aliens and UFOs really are, they're going to fall for it.
Sounds good to me.
In fact, listen to, again, they spent all this gas money coming here, supposedly, and here's what they're saying. And I quote, all religions, except Christianity, are of equal merit. And we're on the threshold of a new age of enlightenment. That they, the ETs, are here to assist mankind into leaving the old ways, Christianity, and adjusting to the new age of spiritual advancement, which includes acknowledging, quote, Jesus is just one of many great teachers, such as Buddha, Muhammad, or Confucius, and these teachers all came from the ETs to assist mankind in our next step of evolution. You're getting double duty off of that lie. Your whole premise is based on the lie of evolution, higher evolved, and now you're saying we're going to spiritually evolve. But Jesus is unique. He is not like Buddha, Muhammad, or Confucius. That's another lie. Buddha is dead.
That's right.
So is Confucius and Muhammad. They're still in the dirt. They didn't launch off on a horse. They're dead. Jesus is alive. He's also God. He's the only one under heaven by which men might be saved. So therefore, how could you say that they came from the ETs, including Jesus, and that Jesus is just a good teacher? Well, let's test your hypocrisy there. Because Jesus didn't leave us with the summation that he's just a good teacher. He is God in the flesh. But let's just put it to the test. You say he's a good teacher. What did this good teacher teach us? He's taught us this. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
So even if you want to just say he's a good teacher, what did he teach? He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way out of this man. He didn't say a way, a truth, a life. He's it. And in case you don't get that, read the next verse. Nobody's getting there except through him. So how could you say all religions are basically the same, of equal merit? You can't have it both ways. Say that Jesus is a great teacher and then not listen to what he's taught. Okay, but the whole thing's all messed up. But it's a good thing that nobody on the planet is falling for this lying, last days delusion that the panacea to humanity is not receiving Christ your Savior so you can escape that and then be a part of the millennial kingdom at the end of the seven-year tribulation where it's going to be awesome. And said, well, forget that. We got to combine all religions together. Is that popular today? Folks, it's popular in the church today. On our Wednesday night says, you saw the last stat that I came across. It used to be 25%. The last stat I just came out, these are people who profess to be, quote, born again Christians. They profess to be. Just under 70% says that God accepts the worship of all religions. That's a denial of Jesus Christ, folks. You can't say that and be a Christian. He's the only way. That's the church. But the whole world is enthralled with this alien delusion. We've got to come together to save ourselves from the calamity coming by forming a one world religion. And that also includes the behavior of the Vatican. Watch this.
Peace. It should be the natural order. Peace. Why is it so hard to find? Peace. Why do people try so hard to prevent it? Why do so many people divide, split, and fracture the one face of humanity? Is there something you can do to heal the violence? Yes, religiously motivated violence can end. This is your invitation to be a peace builder. In the year 2000, a unique global community took the initiative to end religiously motivated hate and violence by founding the United Religions Initiative. Because of URI, Indians and Pakistanis of diverse faith are looking beyond the boundaries that divide them. Because of URI, Christian and indigenous peoples of Latin America are creating a new world of mutual respect. Because of URI, Jews, Muslims, Christians, and Druze in the Middle East are learning that the only real security is peace. In just a few short years, the United Religions Initiative has spread to 50 countries on 5 continents. In a few short years, former enemies have stopped seeing each other as the other and started seeing each other as themselves. Baha'i, Christian, Muslim, Jew, Zoroastrian, Buddhist, Sikh, Hindu. All around the world, URI is helping people experience the shared human face behind the different human faiths, achieving on a deep, personal, spiritual level what impersonal governments and organizations have been unable to accomplish before. Now, more than ever, this initiative must become a shared initiative. One neighborhood, one community, one region at a time.
The Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. Its Pope is currently leading the greatest ecumenical movement in history in order to unite all religions under Rome's leadership. In 1986, Pope John Paul II gathered in Assisi, Italy, the leaders of the world's major religions to pray for peace. There were snake worshippers, fire worshippers, spiritists, animists, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, North American witch doctors. I watched in astonishment as they walked to the microphone to pray. The Pope said they were all praying to the same God and that their prayers were creating a spiritual energy that was bringing about a new climate for peace. John Paul II allowed his good friend the Dalai Lama to put the Buddha on the altar in St. Peter's Church in Assisi and with his monks to have a Buddhist worship ceremony there while Shintoists chanted and rang their bells outside. The prophesied world religion is in the process of being formed before our eyes.
And the Vatican is the headquarters for it. And we're not only going to have an Antichrist, but there's going to be, what's his cohort? False prophet. Wonder who that's going to be. Interesting. And by the way, it wasn't just Pope John Paul II. Pope Francis is mega going down that route as well. And I quote, Pope Francis calls on humanity to what? Unite around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get saved now so you can save the calamity, God's wrath coming to the planet. And what's his message? unite around a one world. How could you say that with John 14, 6? Well, it's because you're not a part of the church. Catholicism is a false gospel. You have to keep the sacraments to be saved. That's not what the Bible says. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If anybody comes to you and says it's Jesus and, Jesus or, Jesus but, that's not the gospel. It's Jesus, period.
Amen.
That's it. It's only by his grace and mercy are we saved. It's his work and his work alone. So that means Catholicism, anybody who believes in that, including the Vatican, including the Pope, you're going to be left behind. All born-again believers go at the rapture. If you believe in Mormonism, if you believe in Jehovah's Witnesses, if you believe in secular psychology and self-help, the human potential movement, you're going to be left behind because you're trying to get there some other way than the one and only way, Jesus Christ. Listen, 70% of professing Christians in the United States of America believe that lie, which tells you how many non-Christians are in church services today. Looking creepy. But this is what's being promoted by the aliens. If we're going to be rescued from this time of coming with wars and stuff, it's we've got to come together as a one world religion, which is one of the pillars of the Antichrist kingdom. A delusion. Right? And for those who don't want to hear the truth, they're going to fall for it. And a lot of people are already falling for it because they don't want to hear the truth. What? Well, you're not one of those Christian fundamentalists that Jesus is the only way. Come on, God loves everybody. You've heard the lie. It's everywhere. But then they go even further. UFOs and aliens. The delusion. They also say stuff like this, and this is a direct quote. We need to submit ourselves. How are we going to rescue ourselves from this time? We need to submit ourselves to some drastic form of authoritarian social control because it's necessary for the survival of this planet. Mankind needs to unite into a one world government as well as a one world religion, or we will be destroyed. In order for the world to be at peace and harmony, there must be a new world order, a universal monetary system, a world authority on food, health, and water, a universal tax, a one world leader, quote, and the abolishment of Christianity. Sounds like a delusion to me. And then, these times that are coming, don't think God's wrath. Don't think 7-year tribulation. Think this. All the suffering going on around the world with the tornadoes and floods and earthquakes is carried on by the wrath of God coming? No. It's carried on by the breath of Mother Earth. Because she's in pain. This battle will cleanse the heart of the people and restore our Mother Earth from illness and, quote, the wicked will be gotten rid of. Oh, not just me, you too. Yeah. Christians will be gotten rid of. So basically, if you're left behind, it's great. It's going to be awesome. We're going to unite in a one world government, a one world religion. The aliens are benevolent. They're here to save us, to rebuild. Just in the nick of time, it's going to be great. Really? How is that time frame going to go? Well, the Bible tells us in great detail. Why? Because if you're not saved, hopefully this scares you straight to Christ before it's too late. Right? It starts off with the sealed judgments, and that's the rise of the Antichrist is the first one. Then you have a global war. Then you got a global famine. And then it's so bad that 1/4 of the earth is killed by sword, famine, plague, and wild beasts. 1/4, that's 2 billion people, and we're just getting started. You don't want to be there. Then the fifth seal, you got a global persecution. People who do turn to God at this time, you're slaughtered like flies. In fact, it's the Greek word asphazo. It means literally to cut, to slay like an animal. It's not good. You should have got saved today and avoided the whole thing, right? Oh, but then we're just getting going. Then you got a huge, massive earthquake on a massive scale. The sun turns black. The moon turns red. Asteroids fall to the earth. The sky recedes. Mountains and islands are removed from their places. There's a global fear of God's wrath. They admit this is the wrath of God. And then it goes to the trumpet judgments. We're just getting started, folks. That's just the first half, right? And then trumpet judgment, but it starts off with this one. The seventh seal opens the seven trumpets, but it says what? There's silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Wow, I was right because J. Vern McGee said it. I didn't. He said, that's why we know that women are not in heaven. Because we know in our marriage study, they like to talk. They got to tell you the story for a half an hour. Just that's why I said J. Vern McGee said it, number one. Number two, my wife's not here today. But anyway, that's right. No joke. So anyway, let's just move on. And so then, but back up. Why is that? Why is it silence in heaven? Because basically God is saying, you thought the first half was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's a foreboding setting the stage. I grew up in the Midwest in Canada, in Kansas and Nebraska, right? Praise God. No offense, Canadian people. Right? You got good back bacon, but that's about it. But I was in Tornado Alley. And every time right before it was getting ready to unleash its fury, it was the weirdest thing. I encountered it many times. Total silence. I mean, not just the birds didn't chirp, the crickets didn't do their thing. Nothing. All birds, insects was. And the reason why? Because, oh boy, here it comes. It's coming to get us. And that's what God does for a half an hour on planet Earth. You thought the first half was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. Now here comes the trumpets. One third of the earth, the trees, all the green grass is burned up. One third of the sea dies. One third of the ships are destroyed because a huge, massive mega asteroid the size of a mountain slams into the ocean. One third of the rivers and the fresh water become bitter. Many people die. One third of the sun, the moons and stars, one third of the day and night is struck without light. Satan then releases a horde of locusts. People with the mark, they are tortured for 5 months. And it's so bad they want to die, but death eludes and they can't die. And they just keep tormented every day. Four angels are loose. Then from a river Euphrates, another one third of mankind is killed at that point. Then you get to the bold judgments. You got ugly, painful sores break out on those who take the mark. Then all the sea turns to blood. All the sea creatures die. All the rivers and fresh water are turned to blood. The fourth bowl, the sun scorches people with fire and they curse God. And then the kingdom of the Antichrist is plunged into darkness. And then the Euphrates River dries up. Why? Because it prepares the way for the king of East for the battle of Armageddon. And then three evil frog-like spirits deceive the world to go to the battle of Armageddon, and that comes out of the mouth of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And then God says, that is it. It is done. Watch what happens in the seventh bowl. The greatest of all earthquakes, a new look for Jerusalem. It's split into three to prepare for the millennial kingdom. All the cities collapse. Listen, they don't just get shaken. All the cities on the whole planet, what? Collapse. They're gone. And not only that, there's a cup of wrath for Babylon, and then all the islands and mountains are gone. In the first half, that great global earthquake, they were shaken. At the end, you can't even find them. Listen, not just the islands, the mountains are gone. God levels the planet. And then, for those anybody left running around, a massive hailstorm. The hail is 100 pounds each. A 2-pound hail, about the size of a football. That's 2 pounds. That's 100 pounds. Right? Then you have the Battle of Armageddon. And God never loses. It's a bloodbath. 4 feet deep for 200 miles. Then, if anybody is left around, at that point, won't be much left, but they have the angel harvest and of the righteous, the one-third Jewish remnant, and anybody that's still alive that got saved. Then the angel of the unrighteous, those that are at that point, and you still did not turn to God during that time, God will send his angels, scoop you up, because you ain't going into the millennial kingdom, and you are thrown straight into hell. But hey, don't get saved. Listen to the aliens. They're our benevolent saviors. And the only way to avoid all this stuff coming is you need to form a one world religion, a one world government, and listen to what this new guy on the scene with all the answers. That's a delusion, folks.
Yes, it is.
And because the people around us, when we try to tell them these things in advance, you know, it's the truth. What are you, a wacko? You're not one of those churches. I told you before, you know what? The word is out on the street. Those of you who attend here, we're a cult, and I'm the cult leader. Because we talk about prophecy. No joke. Just teaching the truth. But if you don't want to hear the truth, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be left behind, and you're going to fall for this lie. That's how we're going to make it through this time, is a one world government, a one world religion, and follow a one world leader. It's nuts. And that includes the Vatican. The Vatican is at the heart of all this as well, including the lie of UFOs and aliens. They're out there in a huge, massive way in search for alien life. And they not only, which tells you who they're working for, they're getting their source from, it ain't from the Bible. The Vatican is a huge promoter of the live evolution. Did you know that? Huge promoter of evolution. That tells you I shouldn't be trusting anything comes out of your mouth if you fall for that one. Right? Because how do you get past page one of the Bible and come out an evolutionist? You don't. That's because they don't follow the Bible. But they not only promote the lie of evolution, they promote the lie of UFOs and aliens. Watch this.
We may never discover the famous alien ET, but it may surprise a lot of you. It certainly surprised a lot of us. The Vatican is looking to the heavens for signs of life.
Yes, David. 400 years after the church locked up Galileo for challenging the view that Earth was the center of the universe, the Catholic Church is exploring if life exists elsewhere in the universe. And astronomers, physicists, and priests are in Rome this week to debate the age-old question, if we are or are we really alone? And Dan Gilgoff covers religion for Yes News and World Report. Dan, early this morning, this 8 o'clock, David and I are all happy about this story. This is our story. We love this one. Dan, by the way, is the author of The Jesus Machine. So, you know, so many times the Catholic Church especially, and religion in general, is seen as being behind the times. It seems like a very progressive conversation to be having. What are they really looking at here?
It is. You know, the Church has come a long way. As David mentioned, you know, they locked up Galileo. Before Galileo, about 35 years prior, there was actually an Italian philosopher who was burned at the stake for suggesting that there was extraterrestrial life. Now, here we are, 400 years later. Yeah. And the Church is inviting these same exact folks, this guy, the same type who was burned at the stake, to the Vatican for this conference on whether the extraterrestrial life exists. I think it really speaks to this Pope and this Pope's efforts to reconcile faith and reason. And this is a high-profile way that he's trying to do this.
There was a statement from Reverend Jose Briel Funes, and it says, just as there is a multitude of creatures on earth, there could be other beings, even intelligent ones created by God. Mm-hmm. This does not contradict our faith because we cannot put limits on God's creative freedom. But is there something in the Bible that they can point to? I'm not an expert on the Bible, but is there something that might, and David, I know you're surprised to hear that I'm not an expert on the Bible, but is there something that they can point to that would back this up in the good book?
Well, you know, it depends what tradition you're talking about. And I think this is really interesting because it points up a divide right now between the Roman Catholic Church, who says, hey, we could live and our theology could coexist with extraterrestrial life. You look at the Evangelical Church in the United States, and by the way, in the United States, say 40% of the people believe in evolution. The Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, earlier this year, sponsors a conference on the 150th anniversary of Darwin's landmark work. So I think it points out some differences in religious traditions taking different postures to science. But in this case, Vatican says, hey, yeah, we could live with extraterrestrial life. God's okay with that.
And what's been the response to this from many Catholics around the world?
Well,
as this news spreads, that this conference is happening.
Yeah, I think it's been a little bit mixed. There are some Catholics in America who feel like the Church might be going too far in embracing science. But I think for the most part, Catholics really pride themselves in a robust intellectual tradition, and the Vatican has long been associated with that itself. And so I think a lot of Catholics are actually proud that in this instance, religion is not seen to be the enemy of science, but actually an ally.
Interesting. Well, David,
wow.
On the eighth day, God created ET.
The Gandolfo Castle, perched above a glistening green lake near Rome, has a magical aura. It's the Pope's summer residence, and it is here that Vatican astronomers have for decades studied the heavens. Perched on the roof of this 17th century castle are two domes, holding telescopes that Vatican astronomers have been using since the 1930s. Now they have much more powerful telescopes for their research located in Tucson, Arizona. But it is here at Castel Gandolfo that the astronomers have their headquarters.
How do we know Frodo is alive?
One would almost expect to find the wizard Gandalf from Lord of the Rings striding through the long hallways in his dark robes with his wooden staff and flowing beard. But instead, inside the walls of this castle, an unassuming Jesuit from Argentina leads the Vatican astronomical research and has recently caused an uproar by opening a debate about aliens.
In a universe so big, huge, I would say, as the one where we live with 100 billion of galaxies, which each galaxy with 100 billion of stars, probably with many of these stars having planets, it could be possible that life could evolve as the way we know on Earth.
Father Funes says he is not sure if other forms of life would be more or less intelligent than humans, but he is convinced that the existence of aliens is not a contradiction with the Catholic faith.
We probably won't be seeing aliens at Mass anytime soon, but the Vatican's chief astronomer does say that there could exist other forms of life outside Earth. And he says if they do exist, they are God's creatures.
Oh, no, they're not. Now, again, what do you say? Well, it's just got to be true that there's life out there because the universe is big. Well, the universe is big. But what have we been seeing in our intelligent design? We don't see evolution happening anywhere. Science is supposed to be about what you can see and demonstrate, test and prove and repeat. We don't see it anywhere. We got the best conditions if that were to ever even occur, and it never happens here, ever. So therefore, if it can't happen here and it doesn't, it ain't going to happen anywhere. It's a lie. But notice that was the chief Vatican astronomer. Did you know they had astronomers?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, they have a group. It's called VORG, V-O-R-G. Look it up. The Vatican Observatory Research Group. They got some of the most powerful telescopes on the whole planet.
Yep.
And what are they using for? As you saw in the video, we're looking for aliens. This is no joke. And you're like, well, why? Why are they looking for aliens? Because they believe, and I quote, they're going to be our new saviors.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones we need to listen to in order to avoid the time of calamity that's coming. Now, you saw that guy, Father Gabriel Funes, right? Him on tape?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he also said. Same guy. You just saw him. This is not a joke. He's the Jesuit priest, the head of the Vatican Observatory, and he stated, and I quote, extraterrestrial life may not have experienced a fall and may be free from original sin. Oh, that's just that you can't trust everything on the internet. Well, here's the screenshot, Catholic Review. This is no joke. And here he is saying, if aliens exist, they may not need redemption. Now, that's bad enough. But listen to what he says, because he believes they didn't sin. They didn't have a fall. They don't need to be saved. But then notice how he flips it around. Therefore, they, the aliens, this is from the Vatican astronomer, remain in full friendship with the Creator, which makes it possible for them to regard them as our brothers. Furthermore, since they are unfallen, they must be closer to God and have a better understanding of the gospel, the Godhead, and the nature of God. So in essence, whatever they say about what we think we know about the Bible, you need to chuck it. These guys know better. He goes on to say, the same guy, he'd not be willing to baptize an alien, but they, the aliens, listen, are coming here and they are going to baptize us into their faith. What's their faith? One world government. One world religion, one world leader, we're going to bring peace to the planet. And he admits it's going to, quote, require us to make some changes to our knowledge and understanding of the gospel. Quote, everything we think we know about the gospel is going to have to be thrown out. And another Vatican astronomer said these non-human forms, the aliens, are described as angels in the Bible. Yeah, fallen angels, demons, I'll give you that. Folks, what did the Bible say? Paul was very blunt. He uses some serious strong words. He says, you better not listen to anybody if they want to tweak the gospel.
That's right.
Including a so-called angel from heaven. Galatians 1, 8 through 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be what? Eternally condemned. What's that? I'm going to stress my point. Well, so what's the classic teaching technique? It's called repetition. As I've already said, I'm going to say it again. If anybody's preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. That means the Vatican, the Pope, their astronomers, the aliens, all of it's a lie. That they're coming here to baptize us in their faith? We need to listen to them? Chuck the Bible? This is nuts. In fact, it's still to this day, that, well, maybe that's just the astronomers. No. Pope Francis said he'd be willing to baptize an alien.
Yep.
On tape, watch this.
Pope Francis reiterated his view Monday that everyone has the right to be baptized. And apparently that invite extends even to Martians. The pontiff described the hypothetical situation during morning mass. According to Vatican Radio, Francis said, if, for example, tomorrow an expedition of Martians came and some of them came to us and one says, but I want to be baptized, what would happen? In other words, says The Wire, if God prompts some Martians to come to Earth, find the Pope and say, we want in on this Catholicism thing, the Pope would probably say, okay, cool, but probably in Latin.
I guess that's Pope humor. I don't know. The Vatican would also have you and I believe that Jesus is really a descendant of the aliens. The virgin birth was actually a result of an alien abduction. And that Jesus was a, quote, star child who was genetically engineered to save us at his first coming. That's how he got his power. And now the aliens are back again to save us a second time, just in the nick of time. This is coming from the Vatican. And to show you how close they are to this delusion. Right? And again, what is it? We all got to band together, forget Jesus, getting saved, the gospel. The new gospel is we've got to band together as humans for a one world government, one world. You see, that's the lie that people who refuse to listen to the truth are going to get and receive. But how close are we getting? And I quote, this is from the Vatican, Father Giuseppe, whatever his name is. Very soon there is information coming from another world. And once it is confirmed, it's going to, quote, require a rereading of the gospel as we know it. Another Vatican spokesperson said this, there's an alien presence on Earth now, and they are, quote, preparing a major world statement about extraterrestrial life and its theological implications, and wants to be ready with a statement about first contact. Pastor Billy, I thought you were making that up, saying, hey, after the rapture, the Pope gets up and makes a religious statement to calm the fears of everybody and usher them into the, and points them to the ant. That's exactly what they're waiting for, folks. They want to be the ones making that announcement. They admit it. That's where I got it from. One researcher said this. So what would happen if someday aliens showed up, claimed that they were the ones who seeded life on this planet? They're the ones who guided our evolution, but they're now here just in time to lead us into a golden new age. And what would happen if the Catholic Church and the Pope gave those aliens their stamp of approval? I'll tell you what we'd do. For those who didn't want to hear the truth, you're going to believe that lie. Big time. Which leads us to the third and final one, the occult and new age. Which again tells you where the first two. So you got the UFOs and aliens are promoting the Antichrist kingdom. The denial of Jesus Christ. You got the Vatican doing the same thing. Well, if you know anything about the occult, guess what? They say the Antichrist kingdom is a great thing. And they're trying their best to usher it in as fast as they can. They think the Antichrist and Lucifer, just like the aliens, are the good ones. And it's us Christians who are getting in the way. We got the wrong idea. This is straight out from the occult. Okay, and I quote, they believe that once all the world's religions come together, and they're expecting it soon, that a, quote, religious leader will be chosen to be Earth's religious spokesman. Wonder who that's going to be. And then, listen, will encourage all the people of the world to accept, listen, a new world leader who will suddenly appear on the scene. What does that sound like? False prophet, Revelation 13, promoting the acceptance and the worship of the Antichrist. The occult is also in agreement that, listen, direct quote, none of this can fully take place until the people who will never go along with this one world religion are out of the way. Can you guess who that is? The restraining influence. Watch this. In fact, they say this. Watch this. This is crazy. That these people who are, their words, not mine, who are restraining or holding things up. That's a 2 Thessalonians 2 straight up, man. That we won't necessarily die, but we will somehow mysteriously disappear, or in their words, elect to leave this dimension as if going to another room. And once these people leave the earth, the new world leader will take his rightful place over the world. And then, and only then, will it be possible to build a combination temple, church, mosque in Jerusalem. Which is also what the Vatican is promoting. They're called Abrahamic houses of faith. Whoa. So they admit that who they think is a good guy, the Antichrist, this one world leader, he cannot appear until what? The restrainers disappear. That's pre-trib. But they're promoting it, thinking that it's a great thing. Being left behind. And isn't it awesome? You finally got those wacko people with those wacky jackets going to that wacky church out of here. I'm so sick and tired of hearing. How many people do you know that would react that way and would fall for this? It's the lie that is coming. They go on to say that at the proper moment in history, a world religious leader will visit the combined Jewish, Christian, Catholic, Muslim sector of Jerusalem to announce that all religions should be combined into one. Quote, this action will finally break the Middle East logjam. And the Antichrist will appear, showing that he is all things to all people. One guy says this, I wouldn't be surprised if this same group is writing the peace treaty that the Antichrist is going to sign with Israel at the right time. Daniel 9:27, which is what started the 7-year tribulation. But then they continue. These guys add a layer. They admit that not everybody's going to go along with this. So they admit that they're going to stage several shock and awe events on purpose to make sure that people go along and receive this Luciferian order, this Antichrist figure. And we saw that in our Freemasonry study. For those of you who were there on that. But they said, here's what's going to be staged. They admit it's going to be staged. They're going to be doing it on purpose, but it's to create a global shock and awe to corral people in the direction they want them to go. Number one, quote, a third world war will start between Israel and her immediate Arab neighbors. Number two, out of the dust and the smoke and the ashes of this war, Antichrist will come striding, which again they think is a good guy. And then on top of that, at the same time, quote, society is planned to be racked with great distress and disorder, right? To the point where they could trigger earthquakes. A couple nuclear bombs could be dropped in various places. They purposely crash the global economy, the stock market. Martial law breaks out in multiple places. And aliens land. All at the same time. Now stop right there. What's the phrase that Klaus and the gang said that we were headed for? Polycrisis. Not just the lie of the COVID pandemic to get people corralled in the direction they want to go. That was just one. That did quite a bit for them. But can you imagine all this at the same time happening? And I quote, the intended effect is to so panic the people of the world that they will accept the new government system of the new world order, and the Antichrist will make his appearance. So it isn't just calamities, third world war, crash of the stock market, all that other kind of stuff. But then you throw in, I mean, that's a bad enough day as it is. But then you throw in the aliens at the same time, people will be literally out of their minds. And that's what they want, because they will psychologically prepare people to, we need to come together and band together as one. Even former presidents admitted that that's exactly what it would do to us. Watch this.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. My discussions with privately with General Secretary Gorbachev, when you stop to think that we're all God's children, wherever we may live in the world, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet outside in the universe. We'd forget all the little local differences that we have between our countries, and we would find out once and for all that we really are all human beings here on this earth together.
We're back. Manny Pacquiao's on the way. President Bill Clinton is here with us. So if I was president, and I won't be, let's be honest, The first thing I would do after putting my hand on that Bible and taking that oath to serve the country is I wouldn't even probably finish the oath. I would run to the White House. I demand to see all the classified files on the UFOs. Because I want to know. I'd want to know what has been going on. Did you do that?
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, we had I think it was at the beginning of my second term, we had the anniversary of Roswell.
You waited that long?
I did.
Wow.
Well, I didn't. And then there's also Area 51. You remember there was a great sci-fi movie where there was an alien kept deep under the ground
in
Area 51? So first I had people go look at the records on Area 51 to make sure there was no alien down there. So then when the Roswell thing came up, I knew we'd get, you know, gazillions of letters. So I had all the Roswell papers reviewed, everything.
If you saw that there were aliens there, would you tell us?
Yeah.
You would.
I would. Well, I think, look, what do we know? We know now we live in an ever-expanding universe. We know that there are billions of stars and planets literally out there. So it makes it increasingly less likely that we're alone.
Oh, you're trying to give me a hint that there are aliens.
No, I'm trying to tell you I don't know.
Oh.
But if we were visited someday, I wouldn't be surprised. I just hope that it's not like Independence Day.
Yeah, right.
Movie, that it's, a conflict.
Well, now we have friendly
Maybe
aliens.
The only way to unite this incredibly divided world of ours. They're out there. We better think of how all the differences among people on Earth would seem small if we felt threatened by a space invader. That's the whole theory of Independence.
You're right. You're
Everybody
right.
Everybody gets together and makes nice.
Why? Because on top of a global stock market crash, on top of World War III busting out at the same time in Israel, for real, on top of that, the exact same day, major mega earthquakes erupted across the planet. On top of that, people were panicking, freaking out, and they had to declare martial law. On top of that, aliens landed on the White House lawn. You know what would happen? Oh, don't forget, millions of people just disappeared. What would the world do? Do exactly what they said. You'd unite just like that. You would cry out the generated response you're supposed to cry out for. Bring back normal. I don't care. Be he God, be he the devil. We will follow anybody that's got a plan to get us out of this mess. It's all been staged. And in quote, how are they going to stage it? Because they do have technology to trigger earthquakes. It used to be conspiracy theory, not anymore. They do have the ability at any time to crash the stock market, the global economy. They do have the ability to purposely create wars. That's old hat. Right? But how are they going to stage a global UFO invasion or something like that? All at the same time. Two methods. If you want to get more, I really go down deep on this in the documentary. But one, if you're familiar with the technology, could be something called Project Bluebeam, where they have this ability to make massive, massive holograms in the sky that are so real beyond your, they can make anything appear coming out of the sky. But it's Project Bluebeam. Number two, I believe that most of what people see to this day, this is back at the very beginning of our study, as a quote, so-called UFO and alien, I think 95% are some super high-tech military aircraft that are so high-tech, they look alien-like. Right. So here's my point. If you want to stage all that, including an alien invasion to freak people out, to unite humanity under a one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world ruler, then maybe it's not an either-or, it's a both-and. Do your Project Bluebeam, and then bring out the technology that you've had for a long time that if we saw looks alien-like, but launch it and launch it against people and create such a havoc, it'll be a shock and awe event that people will freak out and do whatever you tell them to do. And according to the occult, that's exactly the plan. Might be something like this. Watch this.
Here we will explore the most dire false flag event imaginable, the fake alien invasion. The alien UFO phenomena can be traced back for millennia. We could spend days going through the entire alien UFO mystery with all its fascinating half-truths and misinformation, but these details have been made into a distraction. What matters is if it's possible. Is the threat real? The technology exists. Through all this time, UFO sightings became more common. The entire alien UFO phenomena becomes a part of pop culture. The US military develops direct energy weapons. Inexplicable damage seen at the World Trade Center 9/11 attacks and the California wildfires suggest some type of advanced weapon technology that has the ability to melt glass and steel and burns homes into a pulverized footprint of powdered ash. Whistleblowers with Stephen Greer's ongoing disclosure project have witnessed government projects wherein civilians are abducted in fake alien abduction scenarios. They have seen the top secret UFO type crafts that our military is developing, and they claim it would easily fool the public as being alien technology. If the cabal were to deploy the fake alien invasion, it could be game over. The mask mandates have revealed how easily compliant the population is. They will believe whatever they are told, and the rest of us could be wiped out within weeks with direct energy weapons and whatever else they have up their sleeve. We are now seeing a sort of disclosure, as if they are preparing us, continuing to warn us of the alien threat. We know the cabal has the will to do this, and it seems they have the means as well.
So imagine a day when millions of people disappear. The enemy doesn't know the time of the rapture like any of us, but he knows it's getting close because God gives us many signs it's getting close. But he staged some things waiting for that trigger event called the rapture. But imagine you made the biggest mistake of your life. You did not get saved through Jesus Christ. You were left behind. You woke up that day. Millions of people disappeared. And the exact same day, the stock market crashed. All of a sudden, a couple of nuclear bombs were dropped in some major cities around the world. Earthquakes went off, mega earthquakes, in various parts of the planet. And that happened. What would people do? You thought the cry for bring us back normal was big during the COVID pandemic? People are going to say, I don't care what you do. I don't care who you are. Bring back normal. Save us. And then the Vatican gets up. The Vatican, the Pope makes a global announcement and starts the lie. And then points to the false, lying political guy called the Antichrist. And they purposely allow these things to go away very quickly. But it did its dirty deed. You know why? Because the Bible says, it's not that they didn't have a chance. It says they perished because they refused to love the truth.
That's right.
And so be saved. And because they didn't want to hear it, they fell for the delusion. And Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, you can see the setup, folks. Then we, Christian, need to stand up, lift up our heads, because our redemption draws near. He can't do this, folks, until we disappear. But he's got his ducks in a row waiting for us to disappear to start his dirty, evil, lying delusion to lead people straight to the lake of fire and join him one day. That's who the devil really is. Praise God that God sent his son Jesus to save us from that. And praise God that he gave us the privilege that we could share that with the people around us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for our study. And just thank you for living in the days that we live in.
Yes.
We don't know exactly when the rapture is going to happen because you know our hearts. We goof off to the very end. But you give us plenty of signs, including this sign of all things, the lie of UFOs and aliens. It's all part of a satanic effort to explain away the rapture, to get people left behind to think of being left behind is a good thing, and to go along with the Antichrist kingdom. God, only your truth, the one and only gospel, is the only way out. That you are holy, that we are not. The wages of our sin is death. We deserve to die and go to hell, myself included. But you sent Jesus to die on the cross. And his death on the cross is the only sufficient, complete payment for our crimes, our sins committed against you. And you will accept that as payment. He took the death penalty in our place. And since he did all the work, we receive it by faith. And it's a gift, but we got to receive a gift. We can't stare at it. We can't look at it. We got to receive it. And God, if there's anybody here today that needs to do that, please save them. That's why you have them here today. Of all messages, you had them come to hear this one because time is running out. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. He's the only way to the Father. You're being merciful to them. So God, may today be that day when they cry out to you, Jesus, ask you to forgive their sins. You tell us, if we confess you, Jesus, as Lord, believe in our heart that you, God, raised him from the grave, we will be saved. And God, help us that are saved to get busy sharing that wonderful truth, the one and only gospel, to as many as we can with what time we have left. But thank you for our study today. Please bless it to these lives that belong to you. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven.
While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.